I know even before we start, some of you may have already checked out. Stewardship. It's never a fun thing to hear about. We don't want to hear about money. We don't want to talk about money. We don't want to think about money. And so we think about stewardship as being about money. But if you can hold on just a few minutes, I want to take it a bit further. I read yesterday about a Wall Street journalist, Robert Frank. He wrote a book called Richestan. Richestan was a travel guide through the parallel universe of the ultra-rich in America and all that they have built for themselves, including Gulfstream jets, 30,000 square foot homes, alligator skin covered toilet seats, all the things of the rich and maybe famous. The group of people that he interviewed lived in constant fear of running out of money. They had even formed self-help groups to try to help them ease their anxiety. But the most interesting thing to me about the interviews was this. When he asked how much money they needed to feel financially secure, those who were worth $1 million said twice that, $2 million. Those who were worth $10 million said twice that, $20 million. Those who were worth $100,000 said twice that, $200 million. No one at any of the levels felt like they had achieved a secure place. Now, in a way, this proves Jesus' point that you really just can't store up your treasures here on earth because we never feel like the point of having extra, do we? We constantly feel like we need more to survive. The interview showed that the majority of those interviewed worried on a daily basis about not having enough money to last to the end of their life. I'm not sure I can put my finger on what gets into us these days. I certainly know that my parents worried about money, especially when our family doubled in size. I'm sure my grandparents worried about money through wars and depression. I'm even pretty sure that my great-grandparents worried about money and my great-great-grandparents worried about money. It's not anything new. But we seem to worry more and more, or maybe it's just that I'm in the middle of it, so I worry more. But it seems like we need more of everything these days. We need more money. We need more electronics or technology. We need more clothes, more shoes, more. Jesus told us not to worry about the stuff of this world. I don't think I can even begin to understand what that means, to give up what we have. I mean, most of us have a house full of stuff. For us, also a garage full of stuff. Our country is full of storage containers. There are 2.3 billion square feet of rentable self-storage space in the U.S., according to reports in 2014. That's a lot of stuff that's not being used. So if we're not to store up stuff, are we supposed to do without? Be like Jesus, walk from town to town, only carrying what we can carry. What would that even look like today? Not what it looked like in Jesus' day. What would it look like today? We wouldn't have health care. We couldn't eat. because you don't just find wild food around. We'd have a hard time resting because people aren't going to just invite us in to sleep at their home. It's not really safe to sleep out on the streets, not to mention most towns don't permit it. What about bathing and cleaning clothes or even having clothes? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. There are approximately 578,424 people every day like that. We call them homeless. Is that what Jesus wants for us? I don't think that's what this passage is saying. I also can't give it the good old church answer that Jesus wants you to remember what's important and write a good check to the church. Because I think it's more than that. I also can't say that I think Jesus was necessarily talking about, at that time, money or even giving to the church. That's important, and that's part of the whole. But not what Jesus was necessarily talking about. Yesterday, I was reading an article called "The Selfishness of Skipping Church." There was a lot of interesting stuff in this article, but it was talking specifically about why we come to church. What's the point? There's a growing trend out there that thinks that we don't need to gather together anymore. We can get all we need from our devices. We can hear music and sermons and share our faith. We can commune better through technology than we can in person. We can even commune better with God if we're out in nature. So why do we need to even come to church? There are those who feel like there are also many other things that are much more important and that need our attention more than time at church. Others are hurt by the church and things that have happened. Others just don't like the direction the church is going. I know. I know all the reasons. I see it, I hear it, and sometimes it keeps me up at night. So what is this all about? Why do we need to be giving to church? Not just money, but why do we need to be giving ourselves to church? Why is being committed to church important? We all know this time together is about worshiping God and learning the principles of God and fellowship with one another. It's the way it's been done for centuries. It's what we're called to do. But this article said it's also, according to Scripture, to be a time that we can encourage and help one another to progress spiritually in an increasingly secular, pessimistic, and antagonistic culture. I thought about that a lot this week. We have work to do. We're together for each other. We come here because together we can help each other out. We can help each other out there in the world. In this increasingly hard, yes, secular, yes, often sad and scary world, that at times seems to just keep swinging at us. We gather together for a reason. And sadly, more and more people no longer feel that they have a job to do. We've lost sight of our treasure here on earth, on this earth, which is helping others find their treasure in heaven. This article gave the example of people who show up to their job 2 days out of 10. What would happen if employees showed up 20% of their time? Would they be serious about their job? Would they even keep their job? I've had the privilege of spending time with people at the end of their lives. And through the years, I've had lots of conversations about a lot of things with people as they were dying. I've never had anyone say to me, "Man, I really wish I had more stuff." I've never had anyone say to me, "I wish I'd had more money." I've always heard people tell me the joys of their family, their friends, their relationship, their faith, and so often stories about their time here and the lives and the faith and how they've grown and how this time supported them through difficult times. Where their physical lives and their spiritual lives commingled. I think that's what Jesus was talking about. We're called to be Jesus in the here and the now. You've heard me say that a lot lately. For us to be Jesus in the here and the now, it requires a lot of us. We can't do it on our own. We need support. We need encouragement. We need to grow spiritually. Sometimes we need to be carried, and oftentimes we need to carry others. That's the work of the church. And yes, that takes money. We have to pay the bills, and we have to keep the lights on, and we have to support our many missions and our staff. But more than that, it takes you. The gifts that you bring to this table. The gifts that you share in your Sunday school classes on Sunday morning. The gifts you share in worship or our different ministries or in the mission work that we do or even in just welcoming a new person as they're walking into our building. That's our work. I couldn't help but think as we were baptizing Sarah this morning. I couldn't help but think about my own baptism so many years ago. So many years ago. How full of hope and faith and joy. I remember going to school the next day and being so proud of what has happened and wanting to tell everyone, "I was baptized yesterday. I was baptized yesterday. I'm a Christian." That excitement and that courage, it fades, doesn't it? Until hopefully we watch a young person excited about their faith, and it's contagious. That's why we come together. Because we together form the body of Christ. I love the way that the message translated this Luke passage. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax. Not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way He works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how God works. Steep yourself in God reality, in God initiative, in God provisions. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. So be generous. give to the poor. Get yourself a bank that can't go bankrupt. A bank in heaven, far from bank robbers, safe from embezzlers, a bank you can bank on. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be, and you'll end up being. May we today remember our own baptism as we celebrate Sarah's baptism. May we remember what it really means to give ourselves in stewardship. Not just writing a check, but accepting that we need to be committed to part of the work of God here